So hi, on the Grinds Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Will from Dead Poets Society.
And we're asking some questions to say about their new album, Fission. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to it so far?
Horrible. We're the worst band ever, man.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. It's a relief to finally get it out after, you know, almost 2 years in the making.
Yeah. The record was incredibly solid. It's so good. Front to back.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course.
Yeah, that fucking opener made me want to kick someone's ass. I'm going to be honest. That shit was incredible. So great record.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
Essentially, I don't want to give it too much away without, you know, ruining someone's interpretation. But the literal, you know, act of fission is, you know, the power, like the energy from the separation of two, you know, particles. So that and whatever personal metaphor you want to intertwine with that.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Nice.
And any meaning behind the cover art?
You know, Dylan's friend is a photographer, and he was, where was that taken?
Portland.
Yeah. And we just fell in love with that, the shot of that statue, and thought it kind of matched the music with it in kind of a unique way with each song.
I think it fits.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the record?
For this one, it was a little different than our first one, because our first record, we had like years of accumulated songs and demos and ideas, whereas this one, we had more of like a time restraint. So it was kind of a new way of working on it. But I think we figured out how to work well under that pressure.
How did you guys kind of work through figuring out how to work under that pressure with the deadline and it being the second record?
Yeah, a lot of it's like figuring out how to write on the road when you're not, you know, in a practice space all the time. And I don't know. It's hard to find those moments of inspiration, especially when you're so busy, you know, performing the music you just recorded the year prior. But and luckily, I have some inspired boys to work with.
That's good.
Yeah.
How do you kind of get yourself in the headspace to write on the road when you are so like in the songs that you already recorded that you have to perform every night?
Well, sometimes life will kick your ass and just give you something to talk about out of nowhere.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There you go. Damn right. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Which song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
The longest to write? I think we had My Condition, like a voice memo of that for years. Like almost 3-4 years? 5 years? Yeah, we've had that just floating around for a while. And we just never could find a chorus to attach with the verse ideas, so I think that was the longest one, and the most, you said the second was most fun to record?
Your favorite.
Your personal favorite.
My personal favorite. Black and Gold is creeping up on me, being one of my favorites.
All right. Hell yeah. So how did the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, closer be a closer? Did you shelf around and see what fits? What was that process like?
We overthink everything, so there's been a bunch of versions of how that album was going to be laid out.
How many
do you think? How many variations of a track list do you think we had?
Probably like 6 or 7 ideas thrown around.
6 or 7? All right. Damn, undermining my big number that I threw out.
So how did you guys land on the final track listing?
Long debates. Eventually I tap out when I reach my threshold of passion.
Through the towel.
Yeah. But like I said, I work with intelligent, wise people that are able to put things in unified order.
For sure.
Gotcha.
And it definitely helps having a deadline where you kind of have to have something in by a certain time.
Yeah.
It's a blessing and a curse.
For sure. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
All over. It kind of is just like a self-reflection on like growing and going through life and just taking what it gives you and learning to work through it, you know. for lack of a better word, like kind of coming of age.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do in the car with friends in the dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I would recommend listening by yourself, probably. So no one influences your decision on what sounds better.
There you go.
All right.
Hell decide yeah. for yourself.
Exactly. All right. So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words. No more, no less.
A rock album.
All right.
That's pretty on the nose.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
Yeah, honestly, just listen to it. Just, I don't know. I can't tell people how to listen to something or take in art. If you're feeling shitty, you know, maybe it'll get you through it. If you're feeling happy, maybe it'll heighten that feeling.
Yeah. Can't get mad at that answer. It's more than fair. You can't tell someone how to take in your art.
Or you can get mad at that answer. I'm not, you know.
We're not going to get mad at the answer. Don't worry.
So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
It's all of the above. It's like, I love playing drums, but I hate recording drums because everything is under a microscope and it just becomes stressful. But at the same time, it's really fun to be creative and do what I do, but it's all like that when it comes to writing lyrics, coming up with visuals, album layout. It's all extremely fun, extremely creative, and also a lot of work and a lot of pressure and a lot of self-critical analyzation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Was there one song in particular that you struggled with while recording in the studio?
Yeah, there was like a lot of parts that like for Coet, that was a song that we punched in a lot of ideas like last second as we were recording drums in real time. So I'm like kind of like patting my head and rubbing my stomach, just trying to learn how to like come up with these parts on the fly. Yeah. But it was fun. It was, yeah.
Do you prefer like going in and knowing what you have to do, or something like that song where like ideas are getting thrown at you and you have to adjust on the fly?
Depends on where I am personally.
Okay.
if I'm feeling adventurous and I want to, you know, make something creative and unique, or if I'm feeling the pressure of we got to get this done this week, all right, I got to nail my parts, I got to come up with a part that is going to be fun to play for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. So you opened up the interview or us connecting by saying that you're packing to go on tour. So we got to ask, what's your go-to snack when you're on tour and you're at a gas station or a rest stop?
protein bars. I like just, yeah, if they can disguise a protein bar to taste as much like a candy bar, that's my go-to.
Hell yeah.
I think they're getting better and better at that every fucking day.
Oh yeah. Sugar alcohol is getting nuts.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's crazy. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Chipotle. A Chipotle bowl.
All right. Is that what you guys live off of on the road?
Yeah, and it's not too dangerous. It's nutritious.
Yeah. All right.
It's not too expensive. I don't know what the fuck that answer was.
It was okay. Right. There's something in there. Yeah.
All right.
A good healthy mix. I don't know. Try to tie your answer together.
Right.
And for the last couple questions, we're going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Chipotle bowl and White Claw.
Damn. Solid.
Quite the mix.
Yeah.
I'm and, a classy girl.
For sure. What flavor White Claw, though?
I don't know. It's all poison.
All right. Yeah.
At least
fair.
You didn't say the cherry one or whatever the fuck it is, the black cherry one. I don't know.
That one's
gross.
All right. Yeah.
And if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
Gravity Falls.
Damn right.
Hell yeah.
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 And I am asking the last question. Every single person we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Favorite color? Black.
So if we're talking like real colors, what would your pick be?
But isn't black like all of the colors?
It's a shade, technically.
Dang it. All right. All right. Then I guess like, I don't know, blue.
You know, I'll let you have black. I'm sorry. That sounded so I don't think blue is your favorite.
No, it's not. I
No.
like it, that's fine.
Okay, black's a color for just tonight, so
All
it's
right,
okay.
yeah, we'll take
Great.
it.
Yes.
Thanks for giving me a pass.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
I would just like to plug music in general and don't take life too seriously because, you know, it's not permanent.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been Will from Dead Poet Society, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.